The reading is various verses from John chapter 13. First of all, verses 1 to 5, then 12 to 17, and then 34 to 35. And if you're using a church Bible, it's on page 1081. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
It's always a bit of a relief when the first sermon slide comes up and you recognize it. It would be very worrying if it was something completely different, totally alarming. In the spring term this year, our 10:30 sermons focused on a book by Mark Green called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And Mark heads up the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And essentially, his book takes a fresh look about how we live out our lives as Christians and the impact that we can make wherever we are, whether we're at home, at college, or in the workplace, through what we say or do. And even the way in which we say things or do things can give people a glimpse of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him. Everywhere we go, each moment of every day gives us a fresh opportunity to be good news to those around us. And even the briefest word or the smallest action can make a far greater impact on people than we may realise. And quite a few stories have been coming out of the small groups as a result of this course, and we'll be hearing some of these over the next few weeks, both at our 6:30 and our 10:30 services. And Stu is going to preach on the same topic as me, next Sunday at 10:30. So it'll be interesting to see which passage he picks and what sermon he preaches, because it'll be different to mine. And I know that he's got some testimonies lined up for that. So if you're interested in hearing some stories, then certainly you'll hear some specific ones next Sunday morning in church at 10:30. So the sermon series we're starting tonight actually picks up and reinforces many of the ideas that we explored in January. And tonight our focus is on God's heart for serving. But I want to begin with a story. In 1960, the Queen visited a council house in Newton Aycliffe, County Durham, where she enjoyed a cup of tea and some fruitcake with the tenants, Billy and Lucy Llewellyn. Bunting, as you can see from the picture, was hung up not just outside the Llewellyn's house, but also next door. And you can be sure that the whole house would have been scrubbed until it shone, not just the sitting room, but every nook and cranny, just in case the Queen asked to see the rest of the house. nothing but the best would do. And I'm sure the garden would also have been in apple pie order. And the effort was more than worth it. They knew how honoured they were to have been chosen to host the Queen. And no doubt the family talked about it for years afterwards. I do wonder how they were picked, actually, out of all the families on the council estate. Did they just put the numbers of all the houses in a box and pull out a number and say, Billy and Lucy, it's you? And I bet everybody else thought, oh, why isn't she coming to my house? In the 1970s, I worked in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. And my final job before leaving to have a baby was in the protocol and conference department. And I was in the section that helped to plan royal visits overseas. And you cannot begin to imagine the amount of preparation and the level of detail that goes into a royal visit. One of the duties of the reconnaissance trip, and I never made any of these, I wasn't senior enough to do that, is to go and check that there are appropriate bathroom facilities in case of need. And I should say in case of Her Majesty's need, not in case of, you know, the hoi polloi surrounding her. And frequently, brand new facilities would be installed, even though Her Majesty might never use them. Nothing but the best would do. And actually, frequently, people do update these facilities. And then the Queen, who must have a very strong system, I was about to say something else, doesn't use them. And ironically, I Googled. You can find all sorts of things on Google. And there's actually a website which is, they're doing up a property in London. It's a whole mansion block in London that apparently the Queen visited in the 50s or whenever. And they refurbished a loo specifically for Her Majesty next to the mayoral sort of reception room. And she never used it. And this room was sort of not quite walled up, but it was never, ever used. And they're actually advertising the porcelain, shall I say, so that somebody can buy it and say, this was made for the Queen, even although she never used it. And I can understand this whole idea of making everything nice. When our daughter Kate announced she was going to get married, it gave us the motivation to fix our upstairs shower. It had been leaking for some time. The shower itself was cramped, the folding doors didn't work properly, hence the leaks, and we'd been willing to put up with it, but the thought of Kate and her bridesmaids all needing to get ready galvanised us into action, and we completely refitted the room to a much higher spec because we wanted it to be perfect for Kate's special day. Now, how would the Llewellyns, because I am going somewhere with this story, how would the Llewellyns have felt if the Queen had gone into their house and taken off her hat and coat, put on an apron, found a pail of water and a scrubbing brush, knelt down and begun washing their kitchen or their bathroom floor? They would have been mortified. And this is exactly how the disciples felt when Jesus got up in the middle of the evening meal, took off his outer clothing and began to wash their feet. This was appalling. He was their leader, their rabbi. If anything, they should have been washing his feet. Except that this job was so menial that it was never, ever given to a male Jewish servant, only to a woman, a child, or a non-Jew. Clearly, no one had been present to serve Jesus and his disciples when they gathered to eat. And none of the disciples had been willing to strip down and do the job. But Jesus turns the natural order of things upside down. The royal visitor becomes the royal servant. And nowhere is too low, too dirty, or too shameful for him. John 13:1. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now, these words were ultimately fulfilled at the cross, but for now, Jesus expressed his love by laying aside his dignity in order to serve them. And notice that John reminded us at the beginning of the reading that everything is in Jesus' power. He could have asked for anything, but instead he stoops down and gets his hands dirty, quite literally. And then he tells his disciples they must do the same. There's to be no standing on ceremony in the kingdom of God. Everyone must be prepared to get stuck in. John 13:12. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This command of Jesus wasn't just for the 12. It's for all of us. Jesus doesn't use his position to get out of serving. He uses his position to serve. And he includes everyone, including Judas. He knows what Judas is about to do, but he doesn't leave him out. We're to bless and to serve everyone, those we like, but especially those we don't. No favoritism. We're always called to go further, to go beyond what the world expects. Matthew 5:43-48. You've heard it, that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. I'm jumping the gun here. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. As followers of Jesus, we should outdo the world in serving. And actually, it's shameful where non-Christians are rushing in to serve and to bless people ahead of us. Sometimes, like washing the disciples' feet, it can be dirty work. I know someone who, on their first Sunday in church after their ordination, was called to the ladies' cloakroom to help an elderly lady who had had an accident. The day before had been pomp and ceremony, celebration and glory. The next morning, she was kneeling in the mess, quite literally, cleaning up the poor distraught lady, her clothes and the floor. It wasn't what they expected, but it was a salutary reminder that God wants us to get stuck in wherever we're needed. And often this occurs in the difficult, messy areas of people's lives. It's not always easy being helped, of course. The disciples had to swallow their pride as Jesus knelt before them. It is a gift not just to help, but to allow other people to help you. When Kate was born, I really struggled. Your first baby can be a very steep learning curve. She didn't sleep properly during the whole of her first year. I was exhausted and not coping very well. One evening, I heard the doorbell. It was someone from St. Paul's. I hadn't invited them. I hadn't arranged it. She just turned up on the doorstep. I'm not going to embarrass them by naming them. I'll watch Kate for you, she said. why don't you go and have a nice, long, relaxing bath? For a moment, I hesitated. Frankly, I was embarrassed. Did she think I needed help? And then I thought, don't be ridiculous. She knows you need help. You know you need help. Just accept it and say yes. Before I knew what I was doing, I was up the stairs, running a bath, putting bath oil in it. The bliss. I knew that Kate was safe. I was able to relax. I was able to wash my hair without being interrupted by screaming. And when I came downstairs, Kate was fast asleep and a whole pile of ironing had been done. John 13, 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And of course, we were also hugely blessed when our son Andy was ill. People helped us in so many ways. Little posies of flowers on our doorstep, cards through our door with words of encouragement inside, lifts through the snow to the Royal Marsden for treatment because we didn't have a four-wheel drive. Delicious meals. One of my children commented, if I hadn't known about God before, what St. Paul's did to support us through losing Andy would have showed me that he is real. If I hadn't known about God before, what St. Paul's did to support us through losing Andy would have showed me that he is real. When we love one another, when we serve one another, it speaks volumes to those who do not believe, and the most unlikely people will notice. Another story, this one's from a New Wine magazine in 2013, and it concerns a Syrian woman who felt that God was asking her to cross a rebel roadblock to bring both bread and encouragement to some Christians in a church on the far side. She approached a group of rebel guards asking to be let through. This was extremely dangerous, as Christian women were being persecuted on a daily basis. And the rebels refused to let her pass, but she wouldn't go away. She said, I'm not going until you let me through. And she persisted in her request, saying, I want to meet your leader. And eventually the men contacted him, and incredibly, he came down from the hills to meet her. And she said to him, you need to let me across this blockade. You need to let me across to get to the church. And you need to come with me, because when I get to the church, you need to sit next to me. And amazingly, he did go with her to the church, and he sat next to her. And when they were there, she turned to him and said, don't you ever think that I'm afraid of you or your gun, because the God in my heart is bigger than your gun. He is the God of reconciliation. And as she spoke, the rebel leader was mesmerized, and tears began to roll down his cheeks. They went back to the roadblock together, and he said to his men, you need to facilitate the work of this woman. Let her through whenever she likes, and when she's on our patch, you make sure that she is safe. What an amazing example of how one woman's act of loving service created an opportunity for this rebel leader to encounter God's love, quite apart from the blessing and the encouragement she brought to the church. She was only, and I'm using the word only advisedly, only a woman with a loaf of bread, but how God used her. And we do not generally face such danger, thanks be to God. But our small obedience to those in need can be used by God to do amazing things. Moreover, our acts of service and words of encouragement can also help to change the spiritual climate where we live, work, or play. And this is something we all need to engage with. We mustn't decide that these tasks are for someone else. Peter was shocked when Jesus tried to wash his feet. He was probably also embarrassed that he hadn't thought of doing it himself. When Peter tried to stop Jesus, John 13:8, Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Love is about service, Peter. Love doesn't discriminate, Peter. Love is sacrificial, Peter. If you're going to follow me, you need to learn to serve and to be served. Here's the thing. Faith without action is meaningless. James 2:14, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Some of you may remember the Kirkham family who moved away a couple of years ago. Those of you who ever come to the 10:30 service would certainly recognize them from this photo. They needed to find a larger house to accommodate their growing family. But it wasn't easy to look for properties in between Neil working and Alice homeschooling. And another couple from the church, Alan and Heather Higgins, stepped in, offering to babysit so that they could go out and look at houses and find the right home to move to. They actually helped them identify areas where properties were within their price range. They supported them throughout the whole process. And when the time came, they offered childcare, they helped them to pack, they cooked meals, etc., etc. It was a joint effort, and it would have been incredibly difficult, if not impossible, without Heather and Alan's intervention. I was watching a documentary the other day and heard someone saying, "A good friend knows your story. A best friend helps you write them." And Alan and Heather certainly helped to write a significant chapter in Neil and Alice's story, and they're still very much part of their lives, even though they too have now moved away. It's so easy to say, "I'll pray for you," when we listen to someone's story. It's far more costly to be part of the answer. But I believe that God longs for us all to get more deeply involved, both with him and with each other. He wants us to write good stories in the lives of those around us, not just here within our church family, but outside in the community. And as we do so, we'll reveal the good news of God's kingdom. Moreover, we will be blessed as we do it. John 13:17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I just want to pray for all of us tonight, because I really believe God is just reminding us afresh that we're all called to a life of service. It's not for a special few. And I think also he wants to encourage us that it doesn't require specific skills. It just requires us to offer what we can, to offer that loaf of bread, to notice when people need help, to develop a character of noticing people. Some people are really good at noticing, and some people just find it difficult to tune in and to hear what people are saying. But it is something that we can all learn. We can learn empathy. And then it's just a question of taking that empathy a bit further and actually doing something. It might just be writing them a card and saying, I remember what you told me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you today. I'll be praying for you every day this week. It might be actually being a physical part of the answer. Like, you know, the two families who said to me when Andy was ill, and we couldn't get him to the Marsden because the roads were covered with snow and ice. They were very steep, and we knew that our car would just not make it. And they both had four-wheel drives. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll do it. We'll take it in turns. We'll get him there. And what was great was that they talked to Andy about Jesus while they were driving him there. I thought he wouldn't have put up with his mum doing that to them, but he couldn't very well say no to them because they were giving him a lift for his treatment. So, yay, double blessing. You will be blessed. You will be blessed when you bless people. The blessing bounces back. It really does. It really does. And it blesses God so much, and He just smiles and he just looks at us and I love it when you do that. I'm so pleased you noticed her. You know, you can almost hear him getting excited about it. So I just want to pray for us. And I actually brought oil with me tonight. We've got a song at the end, and it'll be a bit tricky because I'm doing the clicker, unless someone else wants to do the clicker for the song. But there's also prayer ministry at the end with Sangeeta and Martina on prayer ministry, and I can give them the oil. And then if you just fancy being recommissioned by God, just offering yourself and saying, Lord, I just want to develop my servant heart, they'll just anoint you with oil. Just put a little mark of oil on your forehead and just bless you in Jesus' name. I know that Stu is going to do something similar at 10:30 next Sunday. So if you miss tonight, that's fine. It'll happen again next Sunday. But sometimes stepping out and saying, actually, I really feel God's spoken to me tonight. I know that this is something I need to do more of, and I need his strength and his help. Then sometimes just stepping out and just having a touch of oil on your forehead and a prayer is a huge step, sort of in spiritual terms. It's a very symbolic way of saying, okay, Lord, I'm signing up for this. So I'm just going to pray as we end. Father, you left the glory of heaven. To kneel in the dirt and wash our feet because you love us. And there are so many people around us who need your love, who need your help. And you're just saying, please, would you do it? And you're actually saying that if we don't learn how to serve people, if we don't learn how to be served, that actually we don't really belong to you. So, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to see people and to hear them and to recognize what they need even before they do. And it might just be a small thing, like a card through a letterbox, or just buying them a coffee someday and having a chat. But Lord, help us all to become servants. Help us all to go lower, that we may go higher into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.